Time for us to check in on the Boston sports scene, and to do that, while we turn to the source authority on such matters, Chad Finn of the Boston Globe and Boston.com. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Rich. Am I on before Jaffe today?
You are. Jay's on at 5:05.
Oh, okay. You have to yell at him for not having Manny on his otherwise perfect ballot for me.
Yeah, you know, he went into some length on discussing why no Manny and why no Curt Schilling, and I get it. I Manny's a tough one for me.
Yeah, I get it too. But I think people build up kind of the fact that you know, he failed two tests after it was implemented in Major League Baseball as a reason to leave him off. But I mean, steroids are illegal before they were banned in baseball. And, you know, they were illegal in the country, and these guys made an ethical decision to do them, whether or not it was written into, you know, the owner's contract with the union that it's banned. So to me, they're kind of all in the same category. Manny was just, for lack of a better word, dumb enough to get caught. But, you know, you look at Bonds and Clemens and right on down the line and over the last couple of years on the ballot, and a lot of suspects. So I can't draw that line with Manny, especially because I'm incredibly biased and he's my favorite Red Sox hitter of all time. So when I have a vote, it'll be on my ballot. It's still on there.
Well, I'm also very inclusive when it comes to these things. I think the more people in the Hall of Fame, the better.
Yeah, I do too. And I think there are some underrepresented aspects of this. I'm sure Jay would agree. I know he voted for Scott Rolen, who, if I'm not mistaken, there are 15 third basemen in the Hall of Fame. It's a really underrepresented position. Guys like Juan Santo took forever to get in. It took a long time for people to recognize that Adrian Beltre was on that path in his career. What he basically did was come to the Red Sox in 2010, you know, have a 3,100, 320 season, and then go do that another 9 years for the Texas Rangers. You know, that kind of did it for him. But the second base is underrepresented. I think Whitaker will get in someday. And I really, Jay's the expert more than anyone on the Hall of Fame. He literally wrote the book on it. And I think his ballot is very agreeable with what mine will be in a couple of years when I'm eligible to vote.
Will you be eligible to vote in a couple of years?
Yeah, I think I'm 6 or 7 years in. They were, the old newspaper writers were very stringent about not letting in people who primarily wrote on the internet for a long time. And I was, you know, I started out as a blogger, even though I was working in newspapers. I wrote a blog because I wasn't one of the baseball writers, and that kind of opened the door for me a little bit at the Globe when I was, you know, designing, laying out the text and things like that every day, but to switch to the writing side. And there are a couple times when my boss applied and they said no for me and a couple other writers. I think it took Alex Speer a long time too. And finally what happened was Tim Britton, who now covers the Mets, but he's a terrific writer for the Providence Journal. He became president of the Boston chapter and got some people in that weren't necessarily ink-stained wretches.
Well, good. Good for you. That's awesome. Well, let's talk a little Patriots now. The season comes to an end. We've said it before during this segment with you, Chad. Man, I enjoyed the heck out of watching Cam Newton this season, and I was so happy for him. If it was his last game as a Patriot, that was a great way to leave the stage. And, yeah, it was only the Jets, but still.
I think the kid's just figuring it out, and they should bring him back next year after what I saw yesterday. 3 touchdown passes and a receiving touchdown. This guy's a future, right?
A little sarcasm in that, Chad. Am I off?
I hinted it, but also a hint of truth. I don't think it's completely out of the question that he's back. I think he's got to read the market and see what's out there. He still wants to be a starter. But Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, if he's back next year, genuinely enjoyed having the guy around and coaching him, and really honestly gave him the benefit of the doubt because he didn't have he only really could pick up a fraction of the playbook because he's coming into this thing that McDaniels and Brady basically worked on for 20 years, even though Josh was gone for a couple of years. You know, Charlie Weiss and Bill O'Brien were offensive coordinators. This is something that of a great scope, and he had 16 practices to learn what he needed to do. So they gave him the benefit of the doubt there. I think the bigger question is is he really healthy? Is his shoulder okay? Because he really struggled, obviously, to throw the ball this year. He runs a little bit more like a fullback now than a 6'5" tailback like he used to. But I do believe there's still a small fraction of a possibility that if he doesn't find a starting job somewhere, he's back with the Patriots as a backup.
Obviously, in a year when the punter is your best player, you look for small victories along the way. But obviously, the emergence of Damian Harris was a big positive this season.
I'd like to be able to counter that by naming someone who was better than the punter, but really nobody was. Dick Bailey, what, he had three or four touchbacks all year, broke Zoltan Mesko's record for yardage, net yards per kick by, I think, almost 5 yards. Just a phenomenal season. And no position in sport has evolved more than the punter over the last 10 years. These guys are all machines now. But he was great. Damian Harris was terrific. I also thought Sonny Michel sort of proved over the last few weeks
yes.
that he's someone we should talk about as a piece of the future. I know he's enigmatic. He gets hurt a lot. But he ran really hard the last few weeks. He's shown the ability to catch the ball the last couple of games, that receiving touchdown, and he kind of turned on the jets there a little bit to run it in yesterday. We've never seen him do that before, and I think maybe he got a little bit of a fire lit under him with the way Harris came in and sort of seized the job before he got hurt. And Harris has had three or four significant injuries already, so I think it's wise to keep a guy who can be a conventional first and second down running back. And I think Sony is someone, when we talk about guys who might be part of the future of the next really good Patriots team, he should be in that conversation with Harris and maybe Jacoby Myers was the third or fourth receiver. And, of course, Jake Bailey, the best player on the team.
And some of the young guys on defense came through this year. On the other side of the coin, there are some guys who maybe have played their last game as a Patriot beyond Cam Newton. Who do you think is most likely not to be back next year?
Yeah, you hear a lot about, he wasn't there this year, but you hear a lot about Marcus Cannon on offense possibly retiring. You hear a little bit less of it, but still there's a little bit of smoke about Dont'a Hightower maybe not coming back. And obviously he was as missed as much as anybody this year other than the quarterback that went to Tampa Bay. Hightower is just the brains of that defense. With McCourty, a guy who had the institutional knowledge, having been here since, 2012, somewhere around there, and is good at everything. Good, you play him outside, play him inside, tough as nails, saved a couple of Super Bowls with his tackles and big plays, and to me, he's kind of the Teddy Bruschi of his era, just a guy who showed up in the biggest moments all the time. And they really missed him, and if he comes back next year, even if, would he be 32, 33 years old? I think that's a significant step forward for the defense. The other guys, Gilmore could get traded, although he's still an elite player. He wasn't as good this year as he was the year before, but still an excellent number one type cornerback. J.C. Jackson was a ball hawk, but he struggled a little bit with Gilmore out, having to take on those responsibilities. And then we'll see who the cornerstone guys like McCourty, who says he'll be back, but that may be Belichick's decision. Mm. And Matthew Slater said he might retire, hasn't decided yet. Those guys are obviously a huge part of Patriots history. We'll get those red jackets someday and maybe have an outside shot at the mustard-colored one. So it's going to be some turnover for sure.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Dantan. You mentioned it on social media yesterday, and I really enjoyed Tom McCarthy and Jay Feely on the call of that game.
Yeah, McCarthy didn't surprise me. This is their number 7 broadcast team, so they don't get a game every weekend. It kind of tells you the standing the Patriots and Jets have going into the last game of the season. No longer Nance and Romo territory. But McCarthy is a guy who's been around a long time. He calls Philly games. He's called Mets games, and he's a really great baseball broadcaster and one of those guys who's also very versatile. And you saw that he could call football yesterday as well. I feel he was a pleasant surprise to me because he's usually a sideline reporter on the Gumbel Gannon team, which is either the number 4 or 5. It's only when they have a bunch of games that he's actually in the booth. And he clearly did his homework. I thought they harped on, the Myers-Newton thing because we've heard that all season about how Myers went to his camp as a kid and all that stuff. But it was new to them and a story that, they probably hadn't heard before. But otherwise, I thought they did a really good job knowing the situation that the Patriots were in and recognizing, you know, what they need to do going forward and that sort of stuff. And it's a pleasant broadcast. With you grew up around here in the early 90s listening to, you know, like Beasley Reese call Patriots games. It's not always that the guys in the bottom of the rung of the ladder end up being good, but they were yesterday.
Speaking of broadcast crews, I know we're a ways away from baseball season and don't even know for sure what that'll look like and if they'll even start on time, but any changes in terms of the Red Sox broadcast crew, either on NESN or in radio?
Yeah, nothing I've heard so far. I did a charity thing with Remy about 2 weeks ago. We had a Globe Santa, which is our we raise money for underprivileged families with kids around Christmas time. And Remy did a thing where you bid on the chance to talk to him, like a group of 10. And I hosted it, a bunch of Red Sox fans came on. It was really fun and it raised a lot of money. And he happened to say during that, that he really hopes the 3-man booth is back. And I thought it was just kind of a no-brainer, you know, because it was really well-received and a lousy Red Sox season, and O'Brien, Eck, and Remy are still good together. But I think there's some uncertainty whether they'll do it every game if it's a 162-game season. It ends up 140 games or whatever it is if it starts late because of, it's always the case with NESN money. And the other thing with NESN is it's not on YouTube TV right now. Which a lot of people have, especially in the Boston area, people are getting antsy that they're not going to have that outlet for the Red Sox and Bruins. So trying to find out today, actually, if any progress has been made there.
Celtics off to an up-and-down start, not unexpected with the very short offseason that they had, but it does bring to mind a question that I think you've asked and others have asked. Is it possible that Jaylen Brown, at this point, is better than Jason Tatum?
I thought you were going to ask me if Peyton Pritchard is going to the Hall of Fame. I guess that one's probably already been answered in the affirmative. But, I think the assumption, it just kind of comes from that assumption that everybody seems to have nationally, and maybe around here a little bit too, that Tatum is going to be the better player. And he's younger. He came into the year after Brown did, and he's clearly the guy that could be the A-plus level scorer. Jason Tatum, I believe, in scoring 1 year, it wouldn't be a complete shock. He's got that skill set in his game, and he's also a terrific rebounder, gotten better on defense. But Jaylen Brown has gotten better at everything, and every year he gets better at everything. He couldn't dribble when he came to the Celtics. He couldn't shoot threes when he was in college at Cal. He didn't see the floor very well. He's obviously very talented and a very smart kid who worked hard, but the package wasn't all there yet. And those things, everything just keeps getting better and better with him. And it makes you wonder, maybe his ceiling is a little bit higher. I heard from a lot of people saying, well, you know, we don't have to compare. We got both of them. And that's true. But I think it would be pretty interesting if Jaylen Brown ended up being the better player out of the two, because nobody's really considered that.
Well, another former Celtic passed away over the weekend. I loved him as a Celtic and then was grateful to him for calling an inopportune timeout in that triple overtime playoff game when he was with the Suns. Paul Westphal died at the age of 70.
Yeah, Paul Westphal was, I think a lot of people remember him from that Suns-Celtics series in 76. That was actually a really smart play that he made, because he got a technical, but they gave him the chance to get the ball back, which they wouldn't have had, and they ended up tying it on that crazy bird shot. So that's what sent it into second overtime, or maybe regular overtime. I can't remember, but he was a tremendous player, and obviously a lot of ties to the Celtics. Came in the league with them. They traded him for Charlie Scott, who was on the 76 championship team, and then later on in his career, kind of a challenge trade that you don't see every day. The Suns traded him to the Sonics for Dennis Johnson straight up, before Dennis Johnson came to the Celtics. So he had a lot of ties to Boston, and he's hugely well-regarded guy, just a good person. And I know Bob Ryan was really close with him when he was with the Celtics. Bob Ryan has a couple of guys that he really stays connected with. Doug Collins from the Sixers being another one. But Westphal was one of his favorites. And you never hear a bad word about how that guy treated people. So pretty big loss for the basketball community.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, Boston.com. Always a pleasure, Chad. Thank you so much, as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Rich. Good talking to you. Take care.
Chad Finn on Downtown.